The gospel lesson this morning comes from the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm and another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to the slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him out into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" And this, too, is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God. The Bible is full of some strange stories. There's a discussion going on right now about the banning of books in public schools. But we have a book full of sex, murder, and violence, which we read right here in front of everyone on Sunday morning. But that doesn't always mean we know exactly what to do with it. Usually, you can tell if we are struggling with the text by the artwork that's on the cover of our order of service. If the lectionary gives us a nice story about a lost son coming home after a long time, then we'll have some nice artwork that captures the scene. But if the story is full of murder and mayhem and cities being burned, well, we just go with the rose window for our front cover. Though with the sermon title of The Wedding Crasher, I did contemplate a picture of Owen Wilson or Vince Vaughn. Raunchy comedy lovers will know what I'm talking about. From the 4th century on, after the conversion of the Emperor Constantine to Christianity, this story that we have today has mostly been told as an allegory of the kingdom of heaven, where God is the king, Jesus his son, and all of the people of the earth, either his subjects or his slaves. The king is presumed to be good. The wedding, a fantastic and very godly affair. And anyone opposed to the celebration worthy of having their whole city burned to the ground by royal soldiers. And in the ruins of the battle, with the city still smoldering, and perhaps thousands and thousands of people weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth out on the streets, then the king says, "Now let's have ourselves a wedding. Here's some robes. Everybody smile for the photo." Is this really our idea of a good king or a good God? What if the standard interpretation is wrong? What if something else is going on here entirely from what it is that we've been told? What if I told you that this story came in the last week of Jesus's life, while he was in Jerusalem, amidst a series of what would have definitely been interpreted as anti-royal sermons and demonstrations he gave in those last days before he died? If we go back and read this story in its context, we see the triumphal entry, where Jesus enters into town street theater-like, poking fun at the king by riding in on a donkey. Jesus cursing the fig tree, a symbol of the nation's wealth and prosperity. His critique of the claim that the Messiah is really the son of King David, thus his challenge to the legitimacy of the Jewish kingship. And most important for us today, a very heated conversation and exchange with the chief priests and elders of the people about the role of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who was arrested and ultimately beheaded because he dared to speak out against a wedding that was the start of a war. Some history. Before he died, King Herod the Great, who had formerly tried to kill Jesus at his birth, did in fact kill his own son, Aristobulus the Fourth, and forced Aristobulus's daughter, Herodias, to marry her uncle, one of Herod the Great's other sons, Herod the Second. And you thought your family had troubles. Only it gets worse. Later, Herodias divorced Herod the Second and then remarried his brother, one of King Herod the Great's other yet still living sons, Herod Antipas. And if that wasn't bad enough, we are told by the history books that Herod Antipas was already married at the time, and that in order to remarry his new wife, he had to first divorce his old one, who happened to be a Nabatean queen whose father was willing to go to war over the whole matter. Because marriages amongst the ruling classes in those days were not just simple love affairs, but signs of political and military alliance. Thus we have it recorded in the book of Matthew and backed up by other histories from the time, a war was caused by Herod Antipas divorcing his wife in order to marry his niece, who used to also be married to his brother. No wonder some would wish to ban this book. This is wilder than Desperate Housewives. And John the Baptist was opposed to all of it. He said that it was not right for Herod to have Herodias. And for that, he was taken and imprisoned and ultimately beheaded at the behest of Herodias's daughter Salome, whom her stepfather also ended up having a thing for. Who said church history was boring? This is the royal family. This is the royal wedding. This is the way that wealth and power and intrigue work in the world, with cities and civilians paying the price for politics and impolitics. Only one man decides not to come and play nice and pretend that everything is just hunky-dory. One man decides to tell the truth. He decides to say with his mouth what everybody else is thinking with their minds. John the Baptist refuses to wear the wedding robe. John the Baptist is the wedding crasher. The standard interpretation is wrong. This is not the kingdom of heaven, not the heavenly banquet. This is subjugation and murder and mayhem and revolt and cities being burned and innocent people's lives being destroyed and a very earthly king inside of the court with soft robes and fine wines and a touching toast to the new wedding couple. And John the Baptist says, "It ain't right and I ain't coming." Jesus says, in the last words, that many others too were called to do such a bold thing, but only few chose. That's my interpretation, anyways. And though this story has been often misinterpreted in order to keep kings and emperors in the seats of power pacified, the first hearers of this sermon would not have missed its point. John was the wedding crasher, and Jesus was one too. I can't read a text like this one today with cities being sieged and people being displaced and a whole region at threat of being destroyed, without thinking about what is taking place in Israel and Palestine right now. Last week's murder of so many innocent people by Hamas was shocking and deplorable. This act of political violence must be condemned and its perpetrators held to account. But a reasonable response cannot be the large-scale displacement, siege, bombing, and invasion of the people of Gaza. The answer to innocent blood shed is never more innocent blood shed. It has been said that last Saturday was Israel's 9/11. Let Israel learn then from our mistakes after 9/11. The world's sympathies are with them, but an all-out war is not the answer. The further occupation and dispossession of the Palestinian people will not make Israel safer. Violence upon violence is not the way forward. And has been often said, an eye for an eye will make the whole world blind. Violence still tried to take the kingdom of heaven by force. But the kingdom of heaven cannot be taken by force. We have to learn to work for another way. Yes, the blood of the innocent cries out, but we have to find a way to answer those cries, not with the false peace that comes by way of sword and shield, mortar and missile, and the burning of more cities, but the true peace that comes through justice and the assurance of the basic humanitarian rights of all people. That is my prayer for Israel and Palestine and for the whole world. We have to come to a place of resolving our conflicts through means other than violence. We have to learn to do what is necessary to put an end to political violence. And part of what this will require is people of faith to stop misreading and misusing their own sacred texts as justification for violence and vengeance. This parable is not a parable about God as a violent king set on vengeful violence. The Bible says this is a parable about the kingdom of God, but the king is not God. And the Bible does not say his kingdom is like the kingdom of God. It says that it may be compared to the kingdom of God. Compare and contrast. Compare and contrast the kingdoms of this world where despotic rulers send armies to make war on whole cities and then send their slaves to force their subjects to come and pretend not to seethe with bitter grief. With the kingdom of heaven, the true kingdom of heaven, where God sends his own son to stand with the prophets who stand outside with the people weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth at all of the violence that has befallen them and their communities. Some say they stand with Israel, and others say they stand with Palestine. This parable tells us, that God stands with all of the people all over the world who suffer from the violence and counter-violence of people in power. That is what this story is about. That is what Jesus was about also. And we have got to start getting it right and see just how badly we've gotten it wrong for so long. Jesus did not tell this parable to celebrate a cutthroat king. Jesus told this parable to sob with the victims of all of the violent kings and kingdoms of Israel and of all of the world. Nearly 200 years ago, Hans Christian Andersen wrote a folk tale called The Emperor's New Clothes, about a royal who was called out by a child for having no clothes. I think that this parable is saying something very similar. The wedding crasher refuses to wear the king's robes because the kings of this world, set on violence and counter-violence and terror and mayhem and petty vindictiveness, have no clothes. No clothes that any true prophet of God could ever find themselves being comfortable wearing. The kingdom of God is not about violence and vengeance and petty vindication. It is about love and compassion and mercy and magnanimity, even to one's enemies. Compare and contrast the two, and we know which is the one that we are to work for and pray will come one day to earth, even as it is in heaven. Maranatha, Lord. May it come. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people say, Amen.